Thank you, ladies. You have your Bibles. All the little ones slip right on out tonight. All the little ones. Genesis chapter number 16. Genesis chapter 16. Look at a couple of chapters tonight. Draw your attention. Abram's name is changed tonight in the scriptures. Let me see why. But notice, if you would, in chapter 15, verse 6, he believes in the Lord and it's counted to him for righteousness. He believed that the Lord would grant him a seed that's like the stars of heaven. But then you'll notice in chapter 16, his wife has no children. And so in chapter 16, verse 1, Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian. Now you'll notice she becomes impatient. Anytime we get impatient with the Lord and the plan of the Lord, we always insist on an answer, it seems like. The Bible says, wait on the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Wait on the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And we're not good at that. We want the Lord to answer his promises now. And Sarah is no different. So you'll notice she not only gets impatient, but and she insisted on an answer. I've got to come up with an answer. God has promised that my husband and I, we're going to have children as the sand of the sea and the stars of the heaven. And I have no children. So he must have a different idea, different plan. So she insists on an answer. And anytime you and I get impatient with the Lord and we insist on an answer, we'll always buy something we don't really want in the long run. We'll do something we shouldn't have done in the long run. We'll say something we wish we could take back. If we get impatient, we'll always insist on an answer now. It's hard to wait. It's difficult. But it's a time of growing. Anytime you and I wait on the Lord, God is always working on us. But if we get impatient, we begin to insist on an answer, just what she did. And that usually involves the world. Notice what happens. Sarah said unto Abraham, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. Now, I want you to notice two things about Sarah at this point in time. She's not a great Christian because she blames other people. Anytime something doesn't go right in your life, strong Christians, mature Christians, don't blame others. It is why you as a husband, if you're growing in the Lord, you can't blame your wife for something that happens. Notice what she does in verse 2. And Sarah said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. So it's the Lord's fault why I don't have any children, so there's got to be a different answer. And then notice, after she comes up with the plan of the world, and Abraham doesn't say, no, I'm not going to go along with that. He goes along with it. And notice, if you would, Hagar is expecting. Notice in verse 5, and Sarah said unto Abraham, my wrong be upon thee. It's not really my fault. I made the mistake, but it's your fault. You should have said no. We have to be very careful as Christians, because anytime you shift the blame to somebody else, you will never make it right. And as long as it's never made right, we'll never be rightly related between us and the Lord and other people. And Sarah really didn't grow like she should have. And you're going to see a little later on where she really hasn't still made a lot of progress, but yet the Lord using her. And the Lord does use her. You know why the Lord has to use people that haven't grown like they should is because that's about all he's got. That's all of us. You know, most of us don't grow like we really should, but we will not grow if we get impatient and if we blame others when things go wrong. Always look in the mirror and say, Lord Jesus, what could I do better? Always. It's the mark of a spiritual Christian. Lord, how could I do better? How could I fix this? How could I be an encouragement? How could I be a blessing? But the second you start turning around and saying, well, my wife, well, my husband, well, my parents, well, the teacher, just remind yourself, you're not the Christian you ought to be. You see, a good wife even takes some of the husband's blame. And a good husband takes the wife's blame. Good children take the blame of the parents. Just like Jesus took our blame. If we're going to be in His image, we have to learn. You can't blame others. We have to take our responsibility and a little bit more. Now, our humanity, our flesh, doesn't like that. We never want to take responsibility. Our flesh doesn't. Our flesh will always find a reason it's not our fault. And you'll notice in verse 5, Sarah said unto Abram, my wrong. She said, I made a mistake, but it's your fault. Now, how does that happen? My wrong be upon you. And notice, if you would, she uses this wrong plan. Well, as you'll notice in verse 5, it backfires. I have given my maid unto thy bosom. When she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. Now look what she says. The Lord judge between me and thee. Wow. The Lord judge, and see what you should have done. You should have said no to this whole plan. You should have known it wasn't right. The Lord judge between you and me. Who made the right decision? Who made the wrong one? Because she knew God holds the husbands responsible. And she was falling back on that it really wasn't her fault, it was his. Now, we all in this room, we have to decide in our hearts that we're going to take responsibility for ourselves. Abraham was great at that. Now, Sarah didn't learn as much as she should have. Now, watch what happens. In verse number 9, angel of the Lord said unto her, this is to Hagar, I know that she's not treating you well. Again, Sarah is being despised, notice in verse 5, when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. In other words, she looked down on me because she can have children and I cannot. So she looked down on me. So what should be the response when somebody else mistreats us? Well, notice what Sarah's response was. And Abraham said unto Sarah, behold, thy maid is in thy hand, do it as pleaseth thee. Well, sit down and talk with her. Tell her, you can't put up with that kind of attitude. And so Sarah dealt hardly with her. She was mean to her. Folks, we need to learn the lesson here. Here is a very important lady in Scripture. And her flaws are out for the world to see. When somebody's mean to you, we're not supposed to be mean back. Abraham said, you know, she's your maiden. You deal with her the way you wish. I don't know that he meant for her to be mean to her. I'm sure he meant, look, why don't you sit down and talk with her and work this thing out? That's what Abram wanted. But oh, that's not what she wanted. She wanted instant change. You can't do that to me. And so she was mean to her. And it became such a difficulty that this young lady fled for her life. We don't know if she threatened her or what she did. But notice, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness. And you'll notice, and he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence comest thou? Where'd you come from? Whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarah. The angel said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. Do you realize the angel put his finger right on the problem? If she would have submitted herself to her master, to Sarah, she wouldn't have despised her. So you can see where the Lord always knows the answer. If she had gone back to Sarah and said, I'm sorry, I had the wrong attitude, will you forgive me? There could have been peace. Notice, if you would, verse 11. The angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. Do you know the Lord even blesses those who don't really do right. God is just good to us, period. And there are times if he waited for us to always do what's right to bless us, we wouldn't get blessed a lot. So the Lord blesses us when we don't do right sometimes, but when we try. And so she goes back. And notice if you would, he will be a wild man, verse 12. And notice in verse 13, and she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seest me. For she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beel-Arumah. Notice in verse number 15, and Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 or 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Now watch this. When Abram was 99 years old, it's 13 years passes. Is that patient enough? She's 89, 90. He's 99. Now watch. The Lord said unto Abram, I am the Lord, the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Abram, I want you to do what's right and walk before me and honor me with your steps. Now, be thou perfect doesn't mean be sinless, but it does mean that we walk in such a way that all of our sin is confessed, all of our sin is forsaken, it's set aside. We turn our back on it. You cannot be perfect in the Lord's sight with known sin in your life. And the Lord looks at Abram and said, look, I want you to walk before me perfect. Now, everybody in this room, if Abram can do it, all of us can do it. And so the walk is to be, Lord, I want to do what's right. We step wrong. Lord, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And we step right, and we step right, and we step wrong. Lord, I'm sorry. That's the way we walk perfect. It's when the desire of our heart is to always please him. Now, folks, it's not perfect if you desire most of the time to please him. It's only perfect when you desire all the time with all of your heart to please him, but our flesh gets in the way and we make a mistake, but we make it right. Now notice if you would, in verse number 2, and I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. Now keep in mind, back in the previous chapter, Abram believed God when he said, I'm going to multiply your seed as the stars of heaven. And now it's 14 years later, 13 plus the time for Ishmael to be born, and he still has no child. Verse 3, and Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, or father of many nations. Now, I can imagine here that he's 99 years old and Abraham is really trying to sort through this. How is it that God, is he using the same vocabulary that I'm used to? Does he really mean the stars of heaven? I can't count the stars of heaven. What is he talking about? Notice if you would, verse 6, I will make thee exceeding fruitful. Lord, I'm 99. I will make thee nations of thee, and the king shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee. And then notice what he says. Then he gives the covenant, the promise of circumcision. It's the promise of he would be father of many nations, that his seed be multiplied throughout the world. Now notice in verse number 11, and shall be circumcised the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. It's a personal thing. Now watch this. In verse number 15, and God said unto Abram, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarah, but Sarah. In other words, Sarai, but Sarah. And it means princess now. But Sarah shall her name be, and I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, well, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of many nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham believed God. What's it say? One of the most disrespectful things I've seen in Scripture. Notice what he says. He fell on his face and laughed. And it was real because he said it in his heart. Shall a child be born unto him that's 100 years old? Shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? And Abram said unto God, again, now keep in mind, Abram is not the Christian he ought to be, because he went back to the old solution of the world. And he said, oh Lord, let Ishmael be this seed before you. Now, I don't think Abram thought about it, but that would have cheated Sarah out of her great blessing. The world and its decisions always cheat Christians out of God's blessings. Any worldly design or plan you come up with cheats you out of the blessings of God. That's why we've got to learn to wait on the Lord, be patient on the Lord, and say, Lord, I don't know how, but I know you, and I'm going to trust you. And Abraham had to learn that. And all of us have to learn that. That is not a natural thing for us, to trust the Lord's word. It is something the Spirit of God gives to us in our heart, and we yield to the Spirit of God, and we begin to trust the Lord more and more, because in ourselves, we cannot trust the Lord. Our flesh always asks the question, can God? The Spirit of God always says, yes, God can. And so when we yield to the Spirit of God, our faith is increased. When we don't yield to the Spirit of God, our doubts increase. And so you'll notice here, Abram is way out of the Lord's will at this moment. Now, I want to speak to you just for a moment about being out of the Lord's will. Everybody in this room can be out of the Lord's will in a moment of time and get right back in it. Or you can step out of the Lord's will for an extended period of time and have many wasted years. It's your choice. One of the marks of a Christian that's growing and of a godly man is that he never stays out of the will of God for very long. He sees it and makes the adjustment. A great quarterback may throw an interception, but he figures it out and says, I'm not doing that again. All of us make adjustments according to some standard. What is it? I want to please him. If that's your standard, you will not vary very far from the will of God. Because your desire to please him will keep you in line. Now, the second you lose your desire to please the Lord with all of your heart, you're in trouble. Because you can do just about anything the world can do. And you'll see here, can you imagine? Here is the Prince of God falling on his face and dying laughing at something God said. Wow. What a shameful thing. I can't even imagine this verse. God is being serious. He's talking about the blessings I'm going to give to you. I'm going to make your seed as the stars of heaven. I'm going to be so good to you. And I'm going to use Sarah. And she's going to be the mother of many nations. And he just falls on the floor and has belly laugh. Rolling around the floor. Can you picture that? And in his heart, now keep in mind, again, like I said, it's real. Notice, he said in his heart. He didn't say it out loud. He knew that was disrespectful, but he said it in his heart. And you know what God does? He reads the heart. In verse 18, he does say to God, O God, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed. Now, why did he have to say indeed? Because you didn't believe me the first time. I'm telling you, my word is true, Abram. Sarah's going to bear you a son. I'm telling you, indeed, it's going to happen. Now, you know, I don't want the Lord to have to use the word indeed to me very often. Dave Pittman, I told you. Indeed. Uh-oh. I don't hear that word indeed. It's like saying, again, I'm telling you the truth. When should God have to defend his words? Anytime you doubt him. Anytime we look and say, Lord, you can't do this. Lord, it's not possible for you to do this or that. Lord, it's not possible for you to pay this bill. Lord, I don't see it. It's not possible for you to repair this relationship. Lord, I don't see it. The Lord says, is anything too hard for me? There's where great Christians' faith comes in. I want to tell you something tonight. God can fix anybody in this room of any flaw or malady that you have. But you got to trust him. Because the blessings of God lie in your trust of him. If you say, Lord, I don't want to go to work tomorrow. I don't like this, or this at work. But Lord, I want you to change my heart. He'll do it. If you have to pray through the night, there's a God in heaven that says, I will help you always do what is right. Folks, it's not so hard to know what's right. It's just hard to do it. Most of us in this room know what is right, but we just don't do it from time to time. That's the reason on Wednesday night in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God when we sin willfully. That's the thing God cannot stand. Now you'll notice here in verse number 19, God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. Boy, now that was a slap in the face. There's no Isaac in Scripture before this. Does anybody know what the word Isaac means? Laughter. Every time he looked at his son, he was going to remind himself, I laughed at God's word. Ooh, now that's a punishment. But it's also a great joy because I've got an Isaac. I got proof that God answers prayer. Every time I see Isaac and call his name, I'm reminded of my faithlessness and of God's faithfulness. Isaac, oh, God can do it. Isaac, I can't do it. Isaac, God can do it. So for the rest of his life, he called his son's name. It was a constant reminder of the faithfulness of God. Now, notice if you would, in verse number 20, isn't the Lord gracious? And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Wow. Here's a young man born out of the will of God, not him, but born out of people not doing the will of God. And God says, I'm still going to bless him for your sake. Now tonight, I want you to understand something. There are people in this room that God will bless because you do what's right. Young people, I believe you can bring blessing upon your parents because you do right. I'd challenge some of you to say, Lord, I want to do what's right so you'll bless my parents. Parents, I want to do what's right so you'll bless my children. I want to do what's right so you'll bless my boss. Do you realize that God does bless people that don't deserve it because of us in this room? He blessed Ishmael, which was a wild man, because of Abram. Not only the sins of the father shall be visited to the sons and daughters to the third and fourth generation, but the blessings of God can also come on children to the third and fourth generation. I don't know about you, but I want my son blessed. So I'm going to make up my mind. I'm going to do what's right. I don't care what anybody else does. It's one thing that I can do that nobody in this room can stop me. You can kick me out of this church. You can take me out of the ministry for this church. You can talk about me. You can say all bad things about me. You can be very evil and mean to me. But you cannot keep me from doing what's right. My wife can be mean to me. She wouldn't be. But she could be mean to me. She could be cruel to me. She could do all kinds of things. But she can't stop me from doing what's right. And she can't stop me from asking God to bless her. And you know what? You can't stop me from asking God to bless you no matter what you do. I'm not going to pray. Somebody of you get out of the Lord's will a little bit. I'm not going to pray, God, crush them. I might feel my flesh do that. But you know what? I've been out of the will before. I didn't want somebody to pray for me to God crush me. The other day, trying to think what day it was, I was driving. And there was a lady, and she was on a cell phone. And she raced into the lane and got in front of me, and then she started talking on the cell phone. What do you do when you talk on a cell phone most of the time? You slow down. So she starts slowing down. Well, I'm getting frustrated, you know. And I think she ran a red light, did something else. And you know, the thought hit me. Lord, what thought hit me? Huh? Now, see, the thought hit you too. It's a fleshly thought. I said, Lord, protect that lady. Don't let her get in trouble. Just help her to learn the lesson. The last person that ran into me was talking on a cell phone. Whop! Hit me in the back. Talking on a cell phone. I looked in my mirror when I stopped. I stopped at a red light. I looked in my mirror and saw this lady in her talking on her cell phone. Looking back as she ran into me. I watched it. I said, you know, I thought about, in my sweetness, getting out and saying, what are you thinking? Anybody here ever messed up too? Graciousness is never out of style. Not for a Christian. Mercy is never out of style for a Christian. Because that's the way God is. He sees Abraham, you got to be kidding, it falls on his face laughing. And he says, I'm going to bless you. Do you realize what a good God we serve? How wonderful he is. He's forgiving, he's merciful. But let me tell you this, he won't put up with sin very long. And Abraham got some things squared away. Watch what happens. Look here. And so, verse 23... And he does exactly what God says. He circumcises his whole family, his flesh, himself. And notice in verse number 27, all the men of his house, born in his house, bought with the money of the stranger, were circumcised with him. So he goes, I'm going to do exactly what God says. So he gets up off the floor after laughing and brushes himself off and says, I'm going to do what God said. So something must have clicked in his mind. God said, my wife and I are going to have a son, and that she was going to be a mother of many nations. So God's going to do a miracle. So he got up and said, well, I'm going to go take care of what God said. I'm going to keep the promise. And then you'll notice, and I like this part, chapter 18, verse 1, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. Now he knew there was something special about these three. And so he said, look, let me get a little water, I pray you, verse 4, wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. He was very hospitable. And I'll fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. And after that, you'll pass on. Notice if you would, Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran into the herd. And so he grabs one of the herd and slays it. And notice what happens in verse number 9. And they said unto him, apparently they're sitting there eating, where is thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. Now, Abraham's already heard this once. So you don't see him falling on the floor, rolling around again laughing. But his wife hasn't. Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. And now Sarah, Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And by the way, it's always Abraham from here on out, father of many nations, even though he has no son to fulfill the promise. You want to know why? Because when God says something, you might as well already mark it down as fulfilled. Abraham and Sarah were well old, stricken in age, verse 11. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women, verse 12. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, am I old? Am I, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being also old? And the Lord said unto Abraham, now the Lord's standing there, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? And notice this verse, you might want to underline it. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. Now let me tell you something tonight. Do you see how human she is? Do you see she hasn't grown in the spirit of the Lord? Because the Lord apparently must have said, Sarah laughed. And she said, no, I didn't. Because she thought no one could see her heart. Now, Abraham couldn't deny it because he fell on the ground laughing. And God saw it. But Sarah, again, she's blaming other people. God catches her in a laugh and in a denial of his power. And she said, no, I didn't. And he said, oh, yes, you did. You see, God is using fallible people here. And he'll use all of us as long as we say, Lord, I want to walk perfect. I just want you to see tonight, you don't have to be Daniel to be used of God. But if you want to be Daniel, he can mightily use you. It just depends on how much you want to be used. God keeps his word. And you'll notice in verse 15, then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. The men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing that I will do? We're going to look at that next week. But I want you to skip over, if you would, to chapter 21. We'll close with this. Chapter 21, verse 1. Now, up until chapter 18, 19, and 20, from the last half of 18, are parenthetical. Between the time that God says, I'm going to come back in 9 months and you're going to have a child. And in that period of time, Sodom and Gomorrah is destroyed. So you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 1 of chapter 21, and the Lord visited Sarah, just like he said, kept his word. As he said, the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Sarah conceived and bare Abram a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken. Do you see the specifics? Just like God said, and at the time God said, even though it was 14 years after you wanted it. But God's word is always true. Folks, when God makes a promise, he never breaks it. It's always true. And tonight, if I could challenge you this Christmas season, it would be that you would say, Lord, I want to learn to trust you more. My gift to you this Christmas season is 100% trust. My gift to you this Christmas season is 100% of my heart. I want to walk before you perfectly. Could I challenge you tonight to give the Lord Jesus that gift? Now, I know you're thinking about all these other kind of gifts, but what are you going to give Jesus this Christmas? Let me ask you a question. How many of you had a birthday this week? Would you raise your hand? You had a birthday this week. Anybody have a birthday this week? Brother Darren had a birthday this week. What day was it? Thursday. How about if I give Amanda a gift? She said, Can I pick it? Give what you're going to give to her? I mean, aren't it's surely something has to do with me. In other words, it's his birthday and I'm going to give Amanda a gift. What are you thinking? So wait a minute, let me back up. You would have thought, well, Pastor, you would give Darren the gift. You wouldn't give Amanda the gift. Okay, let me ask you, whose birthday is it this 25th, in theory? Christ's, Jesus. Okay, are you going to get a gift? You are. Is it your birthday? So the gardeners are going to give Matthew a gift, and it's not his birthday. It's Jesus' birthday. Is something wrong with that? How many of you are going to get a birthday? How many of you are going to get a birthday present or get a present on Jesus' birthday? Would you raise your hand? Wow, are we mixed up? Wouldn't it be good if every one of us in this room said, I am going to give you a present? And I'll just ask you, what are you going to give him on his birthday? It's not your birthday or mine. It's his. We can celebrate his birthday, but I'm afraid we celebrate his birthday so much we leave him out. Tonight, I want to challenge everybody in Temple Baptist Church to give Jesus Christ a present this Christmas from you. From your heart. What is it? Lord, I give you the gift of a perfect walk before you. I promise. I want to give you the gift, Lord, of... It's not a very good gift, Lord, but I want to get rid of some sin and give it to you. Lord, I want to have the right attitude toward... I want to forgive so-and-so. Lord, that's my gift to you. Now, folks, we ought to do those things anyway. But I want to tell you this, it's his birthday. Maybe you take some money and you say, how much am I going to give to the most important person in my family? I'm going to give that and a dollar more to Jesus Christ. What's your gift tonight? God gave to Sarah and Abraham the gift of life. At first, when he said he was going to, they all laughed. Tonight, why don't you give the Lord Jesus a gift? Think about it. You don't have to decide tonight, but decide tonight you're going to give him a gift. And then figure out what you're going to give him over the next 2 or 3 weeks. But everybody in this room, the theme is going to be, I'm going to challenge every one of us over the next 2 or 3 weeks, what gift are you bringing to Jesus? Every mother, every wife in this room, what gift are you going to give to Christ? I know you love your husband and you want to give him. I know you love your children, but we ought to love Jesus more. What gift are you going to bring him? Something in your heart? Every husband in this room, I know you love your wife, but you ought to love Jesus more. What gift are you going to bring to him? It's his birthday. Tonight, I look at Sarah and Abraham, and they received one of the greatest gifts parents can have. 14 years after God promised it. How many of us would be willing to wait with a good spirit? Tonight, give the Lord Jesus a gift of the will of God in your life. I'm going to do what's right, Lord. Whatever God wants from you, why don't you ask him, Lord, what do you want? We do that to our family. What do you want? Why don't you ask him what he wants and promise him no matter what he touches, I'll give it. Can I challenge you to grow to that point in your life tonight? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. I'll ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. What will you give Jesus this Christmas? It's his birthday. We're going to have the pianist play in just a moment. And I'm going to ask all of us to take our song books, page 418, and sing Trust and Obey. Maybe that's what the Lord wants you to do, is just trust him and obey him. But you'd be willing to say, Lord, I'm going to give you a gift this Christmas, whatever you want. Now, if you just gave him a gift that you chose, that would probably be more than he's going to get most places, most times. But why don't you just say, Lord, I'll give you any gift that you want, you name it. Do you realize everybody in this room has the ability to give Jesus that gift, whatever he wants? Will you do it? Lord Jesus, you see our hearts tonight. Would you touch our hearts and make us willing to give you the gift that means more to you than anything else in this world, whatever that might be? Lord, would you show each one of us the gift that you want? Lord, would you touch our hearts and help us to be willing to give it? Thank you for the example, Lord, that you used with Abraham, Lord, that he wasn't perfect, but he tried to do what's right. Lord, you forgave him for his sin, even he laughed in front of you, but yet, Lord, you kept your word. Thank you for being a promise keeper.